Our scripture reading this morning is going to be in Philippians chapter 4, and we'd like to look at the first 9 verses of this. Excuse me. Philippians chapter 4. I apologize for the voice. Been trying to do everything we can to get it listenable, but this is the best I got here today, and I've got some water up here if it starts really going south. Trust the Lord can get the glory. I'm praying that He'll enable me to deliver the message that He's put on my heart. In Philippians 4, we read, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodia and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." I trust the Lord will use this portion of His word to prepare our hearts for what's to come. Let's remain standing for prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we stand before you expectantly, waiting for what you have for us from your word. We thank you, you have given us this treasure. We thank you that you have preserved your word. You've told us, in fact, that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Father, we live in perilous times. We find ourselves in the midst of a world that is confused, a world that is bent on doing things, going in directions that are anything like what you have directed us in your word. And most of us here, Lord, we know, have professed you as their own personal Savior. And we find ourselves, your children, in the midst of a troubled world. I pray, Lord, that you would use us as witnesses for you. I pray that you would give us a heart's desire to be strong in our faith. Hold fast to your word. May we, as James says, be doers of your word, and not just hearers only. It's not enough to know what we ought to do. You expect us to do it. We pray for this portion of Scripture this morning, Lord, that you would minister to our hearts. Pray as we continue in this series, even complete this series this morning, that you would be glorified in it. Guide me in what I say. As I often ask, I pray that you would help me to say what ought to be said and keep me from saying what you don't want spoken. Our hearts go to the Wilson family this morning. We think of Kathy, the loss of her lifetime partner. We pray that you administer comfort to her. And we pray, Father, that you would also speak to the hearts of those boys who grew up hearing the truth, but made the choices as they grew older to go their own way and set the things of you aside. We pray, Lord, that you would be preparing their hearts and use this time to turn their hearts back to you with a true and a right relationship. We thank you again for what we have and what these next moments have in store for us. We give it to you. We praise you in your name. Amen. And you may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Those of you that have been with us the six previous Sundays that I have been preaching know that we have been focusing our attention on, we don't know really what to call them, seven things. Not only does God hate them, but they are actually an abomination to him. Pretty serious, it sounds like, doesn't it? And we have looked at these six, 1 week at a time. And we want to see what we have today. I invite you to go back to chapter 6 of Proverbs, verse 16 through 19. We'll set the stage for it, and then we'll turn to our topic for today. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and the seventh and final one for our topic today. He that soweth mischief among brethren. He that soweth mischief among brethren. Some years ago, there were a group of ministers that had gotten together, and they were being questioned about some of the surprising things with regard to the ministry for the Lord. Maybe some things that had completely caught them off guard, and perhaps some things that were very difficult for them to deal with. John MacArthur's response to that was this. He said, "I guess the thing that cuts most deeply, the thing you never expect, is when your dear, familiar friend with whom you break bread turns on you and sows seeds of discord or false accusation. It leaves you stunned. There's no way to tell when it's coming and no way to deal with the pain of it, the disbelief. The people who know you best have the potential to wound you most profoundly. End of quote. It's a bad one for sure. We would expect it in the list of the seven things that God hates. They're actually an abomination to him. He that soweth discord among brethren. Well, like we've done in the past in recent weeks, let's take a look at the words that Solomon used in describing this seventh sin. And we've looked first of all at the word soweth. Soweth. What does that mean? Well, it comes from a word which means to send away, spread, or let loose. Send away, spread, or let loose. Perhaps scattering seed comes to our minds as we think of someone sowing something, just spreading it out. But in Wilson's Old Testament word studies, we find he suggests that it means to send in a stronger sense. In other words, he says this word, and the way that it's written in the original language, means to cast or to throw. To cast or to throw. Thus, if we're going to take this as the true meaning of this, we understand sowing discord among brethren is not something casual or accidental. I didn't mean to do that. The picture that he's describing here is one who is throwing something, casting something at others, and with a deliberate effort to cause discord among brethren. Sounds kind of ugly already, doesn't it? The word discord there in verse 19. That means strife, contention, quarreling. Strife, contention, quarreling. How many of you know what a thesaurus is? Good deal. I have one of them on my desk, and I must confess, occasionally I use it. I don't know whether you've noticed it or not, but call it vanity or whatever, I kind of enjoy having the points of a sermon that I'm preaching maybe start with the same letter, or it ends the same way, maybe with a T-I-O-N. And sometimes you might think I just dream these things up. Sometimes it's like pulling teeth to try to find something to fit in the pattern. Well, I'll grab the thesaurus. You got to watch out that tongue. It'll get caught on the thesaurus on my desk and see if I can find something that fits right in. Well, I grabbed the thesaurus and I thought, I wonder what maybe some more modern ideas and suggestions of this word discord would render. And listen. Now remember, we're looking at this is the sin, one of the worst in God's reckoning, one that he hates, he that sows discord among brethren. We've already seen what the concordance says it means, contention, strife, or quarreling. Listen to what that little thesaurus added. And if you're taking notes, I'm probably not going to speak slow enough for you to write down every one of these words. Just listen. It's an ugly picture. Disagreement, difference of opinion, dissension, dispute, argument, conflict, friction, contention, strife, opposition, hostility, wrangling, clashing, quarreling, falling out, war, division, incompatibility, variance, disunity, rupture. Quite a suggestion, isn't it? Quite a list. No wonder God hates it so. If this individual is known for casting or causing this kind of ill will or creating that kind of friction, disharmony, contention, where? What's the target? Our scripture says, among brethren. Brethren. Who's that? These are the ones who should be most easily and naturally at peace and harmony with one another. Family members, a church body of believers, friends, perhaps business associates. This is the individual who comes along and it seems like they're not happy unless they can stir up conflict between some people that were doing quite fine, thank you, until they showed up and threw a monkey wrench in things and stirred up all kinds of problems. Now, as we look at the way Solomon wrote this, he that sows discord among brethren, not at the brethren, but this one's target is, I want to sow the discord among them. These people are in harmony, and I don't like that. And I want to cause trouble. I want to stir up trouble here. The extent of the offense on this one is that, believe it or not, this guilty person might not even be involved in the discord. He might not even be involved in it. He just likes to cause trouble among brethren and then just kind of back away from it. He just stirs up the hornet's nest and then he sits back and enjoys the trouble that he has caused. As we think of this, very simply, this one is a troublemaker. He seems to enjoy causing it between individuals with whom there was no conflict until he showed up and started saying, doing, making accusations in their hearing, knowing that what he said about this one was going to bother this one, but he wants to say it anyway about this one because he wants to see this one and this one in conflict with each other. Do you know anyone like that? Do you have anybody that comes to your mind as you think of a family reunion, as families get together, and it just seems like so-and-so just really can't seem to get along with anybody, and so-and-so just, that's what seems to make him tick. Things were going good until he brought his potato salad to the table. Now we've got troubles. Or among a group of believers. Brethren in the Lord. Well, for you note takers, let's give you a point here now. You've been waiting with pens handy. Number one, let's ask ourselves, what is the source or the motivation? What is the source or the motivation? A, spiritually, we can tell you where it comes from. Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21. Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, which emulations, wrath, strife, seditions or divisions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things, practice such things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What are we talking about here? We've described the works of the flesh, that which comes from the old unsaved nature. That's our spiritual cause of this. It comes from our old natures. But we can find, let's see some specifics. Let's just label some things. We've seen the kind of the umbrella over it all. This sort of activity, it does not come from the Lord. It comes from our old natures, our old self. But let's get a little more specific about it, and we'll see some labels that the scriptures give to us for this. B, let's see in Proverbs chapter 6. You say, well, I'm already there. I was until you told me to go to Galatians. Go back to Proverbs chapter 6. And let's see verses 12 through 14. What is the source here? Pure wickedness. Pure wickedness. Look at verse 12. A naughty or a bad person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward or a false mouth. He winks with his eyes. He speaks with his feet. He teacheth or points with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He does what? The last of it. He sows discord. A wicked person. They're known for sowing discord. And that's why a few verses later, Solomon puts it, it's one of the things the Lord hates more than anything, is the fact that this one delights in sowing discord among those with whom normally there is unity. But he likes to break it up and cause the hurts and the disagreements. See, as we're looking at the source of the motivation, hatredness in one's heart. Hatredness. You say, Pastor, we read hatred in Galatians 5. That's right. We're just pinpointing a little bit more specific in some other places. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Hatred stirreth up what? Strifes. That's what discord is. It's the disagreement, the contention among others. And he says, we say, where does that come from? It comes where there is hatred in one's heart. It stirs up strife. But love, it covers all sins. D, gossip. Oh, this is a good one, isn't it? This is a good one. Loose tongues. We find here in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28, it says, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth the best of friends. What's another word for a whisperer? A gossiper. Don't tell anybody. But you wouldn't believe. You know what I saw? A whisperer. All they're good for is doing what? Coming in between and separating chief friends. That's the best of friends and family members, where there should be and had been such love and closeness and harmony and unity. But gossip is a good way to stir up discord among brethren. Look at chapter 17, verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter does what? Separates very friends. You know, I probably shouldn't tell you this, but that's a lame opener, isn't it? And we've all heard it, haven't we? And sadly, we've probably all said it. Because you know it's so juicy. And everybody likes juice, don't they? So, I know I probably shouldn't be saying this, but that's what this is about when it says, he that covers a transgression seeks love, the first part in verse 9. This is the one that doesn't pass it on. He covers it. He says, I know it was wrong. I know they shouldn't have. But you know what? I'm not going to pass it on. I'm not going to tell anyone about it. I'll just pray for them. But it doesn't bring as much personal satisfaction as, let me tell you, I probably shouldn't be. But that's one of the sources and motivations of it. There's one more reference here, 26 verse 20. 26 verse 20. It says, where no wood is, the fire goeth out. Is that a duh? And that's exactly what Solomon is doing. He's setting the stage. Everybody knows if you don't throw more logs on the fire, it's going to do what? Go out. With that in mind, so where there is no talebearer, gossip, whisperer, the strife ceaseth. O Lord, help us to watch what we say, because our words can be so powerful. E, note takers, here's another source. Scorners. Proverbs 22:10. Proverbs 22:10. It says here, cast out the scorner, and what? Contention is going to go away. Things are going to calm down. There's not going to be the strife. There's not going to be the discord. Just get rid of the scorner. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Remember, strife was one of the definitions of discord. Just get rid of a scorner. Well, how would you recognize a scorner if you met one? A scorner is one who is a mocker, one who likes to scoff, especially at beliefs and things that are important to certain people. So, you think it's important for you to be at church on Sunday, huh? And miss such and such. Things that's so important to you. These are the ones that scoff. They like to poke fun of the beliefs and the standards and things that are important to other people. And he says, you know, you get rid of these people and you'd be amazed how much at peace people would be able to get along. Well, we could add more to the source, but the time is going. And so number two in our note takers, it's why is it so hated by the Lord? We've looked at the sources and we saw, generally speaking, it comes from the natural, unregenerate heart that doesn't know the Lord. But let me be quick to say, believers that are not walking in fellowship with the Lord, and believers that are not allowing their lives to be directed by the Spirit of God, can be just as guilty of sowing discord as the unsaved. You see, when we got saved, we got a new nature, but we still have that old one to deal with. Any of you ever discovered that you've still got that old nature to deal with? Man, I'm telling you, that thing just keeps rearing up its ugly head. And if we're out of fellowship with the Lord and we're not being careful, we that know the Lord as our own personal Savior can be guilty of sowing discord among brethren. Shame on us. The Lord hates it. Why? A. Look at Psalm 133. The Lord, here's our answer, A. The Lord delights in unity among brethren. Psalm 133, the psalmist says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in discord." No, to dwell together in unity, that brings delight to the Lord. That's what he wants for his own. Not the disagreements, not the separation, not the arguing, not the hurt feelings, not the contention, not the never can seem to have a kind word for each other among brethren, but he delights in unity. B. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, in a section we often refer to as the Sermon on the Mount, in that ninth verse of Matthew chapter 5, the Lord said this, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." He praised the peacemakers as characteristic of those who are children of God, who are allowing the fruit of the Spirit to be demonstrated in their life. Do you remember the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5? Of those things that are listed, you know what number 3 is? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. What's that third one? Peace. That's what the Spirit produces. That's what he longs for among us that know him as our own personal Savior. Blessed are the peacemakers, the Lord said. Good for you. They shall be called the children of God. See, why is it so hated by the Lord? Because it goes against the new commandment he gave his disciples before he went to the cross. That's a lot to write. You can summarize that. What are we talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? In John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Verses 34 and 35. That night in the upper room, just hours before he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, where Judas Iscariot was ready to betray him and turn him over to the authorities, that night, the very last night before the cross, with his disciples, he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." And then he said, "By this, if you would truly demonstrate love one toward another," he said, "by this shall all men know that you are my disciple." He's a Christian. She knows the Lord. Look at the way they love one another. That group of people, they've got something there. And he said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciple if you have and show and demonstrate love one to another." Well, we've seen some of the sources. We've briefly suggested three reasons why the Lord hates it so. Another one we could just add, it's against everything God is. It is totally anti-God. God is love. God is peace. God is unity. God is harmony. And the sore of discord among brethren is totally against everything that characterizes our God. Number three, note takers, we ask ourselves, what's the cure? What's the cure? Well, for the unsaved one, the cure is that one needs to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. They need to come and confess their sin to Him, repent of their old ways, and accept the gift of salvation and forgiveness and the gift of everlasting life that the Lord died on the cross for. And by the way, He lives. We celebrated that last Sunday. He is alive. He is a living Savior. But He wants to give you everlasting life, but He doesn't shove it down your throat. You have to ask for it. You have to tell Him, I know I needed You to save me from my sin. My sin was separating me from You. But thank You, You went to the cross. Thank You, You shed Your blood. Thank You, You offer to me as a gift now everlasting life and forgiveness of sin. And you know when one does that, Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's a change that the unsaved person needs. But for the believer, remember we mentioned a moment ago, what's the cure? For the believer, it's living in obedience to His word and will. And as I said, even though we have that new nature, we have the Lord living in us through the person of the Holy Spirit who took up residence in us when we received Christ by faith as our own Savior and Lord. If we're not careful, we turn our eyes off the Lord, we can go our own way. We can begin to do the old things that used to characterize us if we're not careful. If we're not walking in obedience to His will and His way for our lives. I have some references that I'd like us to just look at in closing. Excuse me. With regard to what's the cure, I'd like you to look at these references and listen to the guidance that the Lord gives to us as His own regarding this sin that we've been talking about today. First, turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And in Romans 12, let's look at verse 18. Here's some guidance the Lord has for His own, if it be possible. As much as lieth in you, that means as much as it depends upon you, live how? Peaceably with all men. You say, Pastor, you don't know, my brother. You don't know that nephew of mine. You don't know my cousin. You don't know my boss. That's why Paul put what he did in that verse. He said, if it be possible. You know what Paul knew? He knew there were some people that it was going to be awfully hard for us to deal with. And the what Paul is saying, if there's conflict and disagreement and discord, just make sure you're not the cause of it. He said, as far as your assignment, you live peaceably with all men. But if so-and-so won't let you, that's on his shoulders. He's going to have to answer for it when he stands before the Lord. Don't you get engaged and become a part of the issue. Here's another reference, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. 2 Corinthians 13, 11. He says, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect or mature. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in what? Peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Don't be a troublemaker, Christian. That's what Paul is closing his second letter to the Corinthians with. Live in peace with them. Be of one mind. Unity. Strive for that. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Here we read, follow peace with all men, and holiness, doing the right thing, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man's going to see the Lord. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And look at verse 27. Only let your conversation, your manner of living, that's what that means. Doesn't mean your what you say. Conversation in the New Testament is a term for your whole way of life. Let your way of life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, what's going on with you, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Unity, that's what you're working toward. Turn back a couple of pages to Ephesians chapter 4. And we close with the first four verses of that fourth chapter. Ephesians 4, 1, 2, and 3. And again, what are we looking at? We're looking at guidelines, guidance that the Lord has given you and me that know the Lord as our own personal Savior. As we get up in the morning, what should be my goal? What should I be living for? What should I be striving for? We've given you some references, and we close with this one. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech, I beg you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. You may not like everybody. I'm sure everybody doesn't like me. But we are to forbear one another. Very simply, that means just learn to be polite, and kind, and nice to that person. He may not be your top choice, but we are to forbear one another. How? In love. I can love them in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The Lord can help me love that person, even though I don't really care for them. Continuing on, he says, endeavoring. That is attempting to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. May the Lord help us to avoid each of these seven sins that we have looked at in this, our seventh Sunday morning. How can we avoid them? By the power that is within us, in and through the person of the Holy Spirit that lives within every true Christian. It is by His enablement we can avoid these seven serious sins. Let's close in prayer. Father, we're thankful that You've enabled us these last Sundays to look at these sins. And I pray that they might not just be a novel thing to us to collect and to think, oh yeah, we looked at that verse, we looked at those verses, and Pastor preached on that. But I pray, Lord, that we each one would take seriously what Solomon is identifying in these verses, and may we, by Your Spirit and a heart's desire that glorifies You, avoid being a participant in any of these seven sins. We ask this for Your glory. Lord, if any have heard today something that has touch their hearts as far as their relationship with You. Maybe there's some listening that have never trusted Christ as their own personal Savior. I pray today, Lord, You would show them what He's done for them. Show them their need to be saved, and that if they would confess their sin unto You and trust in You, Lord, as their own personal Savior, You could save them from their sins and give them everlasting life. Make them a new creature in Christ Jesus. We commit those to You, Lord. We thank You now in Your name. Amen.